glorified spawn of Lucifer. My stomach twisted and turned with disgust, cutting through to me until I couldn't stand it anymore. I'm going to be sick, I said, and bolted for the bathroom. I barely had enough time to drop onto my knees before I began heaving violently, my body spewing all the bile and truth and corruption out of me. Tears continued to spill as the already broken pieces inside of me shattered over and over again. Shards of brokenness upon shards of brokenness, slicing and ripping at my skin and bones and heart. Dominic appeared behind me after a few agonizing moments, his footsteps giving me no warning or heads up. I wanted to tell him to go away, to leave me in my sickness and misery, but I couldn't stop vomiting long enough to get the words out. He crouched down beside me and pulled my hair back. He didn't move or say anything until I was done.
Better?
He asked after the longest minute of my life. I flushed the toilet and scooted back, propping myself against the cabinet as I tried to get my body to stop thwacking. He's going to leave me. I pulled my knees up to my chest.
If he leaves you, then he never deserved you to begin with,
said Dominic, knowing what I was talking about, what I was sick about, without even having to utter the words. He deserves so much better than what I am. I was right the first time. I was a plague, and destiny just confirmed it for me. How could I even attempt to stand beside him now? He was a beautiful, loving, godly being, and I was the daughter of Hades. Tears sprung from my eyes and fell, running endlessly down my cheeks. I should just disappear now. Run away before he finds out the truth and tosses me out with the trash. And who could blame him? I was worse than trash. I was the walking apocalypse. More tears fell.
All right, get up.
Dominic's hard tone snapped me out of my downward spiral of self-loathing.
The pity party's over.
I crinkled my nose at him. Actually, I'm just getting started.
Actually,
he said as he reached down and grabbed my upper arm, pulling me up to my feet in one swift move.
You're done.
I looked at him indignantly. I think I'm entitled to a few tears, Dominic. This might be nothing to you, being that you're a big black hole of destruction-loving darkness, but for a normal person, this is a pretty big deal.
Firstly, you already had your moment. You cried, and you retched, and now you're done. Secondly, I take offense to that. Thirdly, it is a big deal,
he said, using air quotes.
And that's precisely why you need to keep your head on straight and start working on a way to save your neck. Because trust me, Angel, you're not going to do it drowning in a bucket of your own tears. Are you reading me clearly, or should I go on?
My mouth dropped open to bark something back at him, but I quickly shut it, realizing he was completely right. No. I pulled my arm free and then swiped away at the last straggling tear. I'm done.
Good. Now let's fix ourselves a couple of stiff drinks and figure out how we're going to save the world from you.
Dominic! He grinned back at me, a soft twinkle playing in his eyes. As blunt and inappropriate and downright infuriating as he was, I couldn't help but smile back at him. What else could I do? The guy had a demented sense of humor. Curled up on the sofa in the den again, I sat in quiet contemplation, staring into the fire pit as Dominic whipped us up something to take the edge off the dire circumstances. The wheels in my head were churning as determination began taking over. I had to figure out a way to stop this, to stop the prophecy and change my grim fate. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized Tessa was right. Lucifer was the key to stopping all of it. Of course, if I had any chance of bending the prophecy to my will, I first needed to fully understand my role in it. Only then would I be able to do anything about it.
You're going to chew a hole right through your cheek, said Dominic, as he placed two glasses on the coffee table and retook his seat beside me on the couch. "We need to find out everything we can about the prophecy," I said, continuing my inner dialogue aloud. If we were going to take out Lucifer for good, we needed to figure out where he was being kept and what exactly was needed to revive him.
"You're plotting, love. I like it."
"If we can find out how this is supposed to go down, maybe we can figure out a way to stop it."
"As far as I know, the Council keeps all their old scriptures and texts down in the vaults. However, you're going to have a difficult time gaining access to it. It's locked up tighter than Fort Knox."
"Do you think Gabriel can get in?" Dominic laughed as he picked up his glass.
"Not since he turned."
"What about the Dark Legion? If they know about the prophecy, then they must have their own text, right? Maybe they have information that the Council doesn't have."
"Such as what?"
"Such as the when, or more importantly, the how," I said, scooting in closer to him. "They aren't just going to wing it. They need my blood for a reason, probably for some kind of ritual, right? We need to find out exactly what that is."
"And how do you intend on doing that, Temptress?"
"Not me, Dominic. You." He laughed, as though I weren't being completely and totally serious about it. "You must have a contact, someone from the inside that can tell us what we need to know."
"What makes you so sure of that?"
he wondered. "Well, you're obviously not with the Order, so..."
"So, if I'm not with the Order, I must be with the Dark Legion?"
he surmised. "Isn't that where all descendants go when they've turned against the Order?"
"Let's get something clear, Angel. I don't work for anyone. Not for the Order, and not for the Dark Legion."
"So, you're an independent contractor, then?" I thought about it for a moment. "That might actually work in our favor."
"How do you suppose?"
"Well, you don't have ties to either side." I moved in a little closer, holding his gaze as I purposefully placed my hand on his knee. "You're in the perfect position." His eyes snapped to my hand.
"To do what?"
"To play ball with the dark side." It came out far more seductive than I had intended it to. "We need someone on the inside, someone who could gain access and find out what they know and what they're planning." I leaned in closer to him, holding his gaze. "Who better than you, Dominic?"
"Reaching out to them is risky. I'd be putting myself directly on their map, and I'm not sure I'm prepared to stick my neck out that far."
A smug look came over his expression.
"The Council's already looking for a reason to dust me. I'm not sure I should be giving them any more reasons."
"No one would have to know but us." I bit my bottom lip. His eyes instantly glazed over with want as he stared down at my mouth.
"That's not fair, Angel. You're playing dirty."
"All is fair in love and war, Dominic."
"You truly are going to be the death of me."
"I'm going to be the death of all of us if we don't figure out a way to stop this." Forcing his eyes back up to mine, he ran his fingers along his smooth jawline. "You're the only one who can do this," I said, pushing harder. Alarm bells sounded inside me, warning me to tread carefully, to think this through. Thrusting Dominic towards the Dark Legion for recon work probably wasn't the best idea. Frankly, it was downright dangerous, but it was also the only idea I had at this point. "Please, Dominic."
"Very well. I'll play ball with the dark side, as you put it."
A wicked smile sprouted on his lips, letting me know there was going to be a price to pay. With Dominic, there always was.
"Just know that you're going to owe me big for this, Angel. Bigger than you've ever owed anyone in your life."
His onyx eyes took in every inch of me as if to survey his prize.
"And I promise you, I will collect."
38. Whispers in the Dark.
It was well past midnight by the time I got back home. I tiptoed up the stairs with my shoes in hand, doing my best not to make any sounds that might alert my uncle to my presence. The last thing I wanted to do after everything that happened tonight was see him. I had no idea how much he knew, or on which side of the enemy line he stood. Just being in the house made me feel uneasy, like I may have been sleeping under the enemy's roof all along and didn't even know it. Once inside my room, I carefully closed the door behind myself and released the breath I'd been holding since I got upstairs. I stood there for a moment, letting the quiet and darkness wrap itself around my tattered soul. A small light flicked on behind me, startling me. Panicked, I whipped around, expecting to find an intruder, some unknown face from the Dark Legion ready to make good on the prophecy.
"It's just me," said Trace.
He was sitting at my desk with his arms crossed over his husky chest and a sexy half-smile on his lips. Lips that made me want to sell my soul for the chance to kiss them again. I smiled back at him and patted across the room. "I missed you," I said, crawling onto his lap. He pulled me into his warmth and tightened his arms around my waist.
"I missed you more."
"I seriously doubt that." His dimples appeared and then disappeared.
"How did your date go?"
he asked as he leaned in and buried his face in my neck, taking in my scent like it was the air he needed to breathe. "Not good." I ran my fingers through his hair and closed my eyes as he peppered my neck with soft kisses.
"Did he try something?"
he asked evenly, his breath tickling my neck as he swept another kiss below my ear. I sighed as his lips brushed against my skin like a paintbrush blessing a canvas with its masterpiece. "No, he didn't try anything. He was actually pretty decent," I said, as my mind unintentionally slipped back to the way he held my hair for me as I spewed my dinner into his toilet. He pulled back and met my eyes.
"You got sick?"
I nodded, wishing so bad that I didn't have to talk about it tonight, that I didn't have to obliterate this perfect moment with the cold, sobering truth.
"What happened?"
His jaw ticked, and I knew he was working hard to keep himself calm. "Tessa and Gabriel showed up."
"What for?"
"Tessa found out about Angel, about my blood, the amulet. She knows all of it, and a whole lot more." Tears stung the corners of my eyes as I tried to summon the courage to speak the truth. "It's bad, Trace. Really bad."
"Whatever it is, we'll deal with it together,"
he said, trying to comfort me. But it was no use. There weren't any words in the English language that could erase the reality of what I really was, of the venom that was coursing through my veins, or the target it put on my back.
"We already knew Angel was curious about your blood,"
he said, answering my thoughts.
"It doesn't change anything. We're still going to waste him, one way or another."
"You don't understand." I shook my head and looked away from his penetrating eyes. "It's not just about Angel anymore."
"Then who's it about?"
he asked, picking up my chin and forcing me to meet his eyes again.
"What's going on, Gemma?"
"The Dark Legion knows about me, Trace. About my blood." His head ticked back, fear and confusion warring in his eyes for supremacy.
"What are you talking about? What does the Dark Legion have to do with this?"
Deep down, I'd hoped I'd never have to utter the words to him, that I'd never have to see him look at me the way he inevitably would. But I knew that wasn't possible. He deserved to know the truth, no matter how ugly it was. "They think my blood is the key to raising Lucifer," I said without pausing to think twice about it. "That I'm the girl from the prophecy."
"The daughter of Hades?"
he verified, obviously knowing his scripture well.
"That prophecy is bullshit."
"It turns out that it isn't. The bloodline exists, and the Order's been keeping it a secret for centuries." I had a hard time meeting his eyes, but I forced myself to look up at him. "I'm one of his descendants, Trace." He didn't say anything as he stared back at me in utter, soul-shaking silence. As petrified as I was, I had to continue. I had to get it all out before I lost my nerve. His blood is dormant in Tessa, like it was in my mother and all the women before her. But it's dominant in me, I explained, trying not to choke on the words as they came out. My dad tried to hide the truth by taking us away from here, by having me cloaked. But the minute Angel tasted my blood, he put two and two together and tipped off the Dark Legion. And now they know the truth about me, and they're not going to stop until they get what they want. Until they fulfill the prophecy. He stared back at me, still speechless. His mouth opened and closed as though he were going to say something, but decided against it at the last minute. There's more. I watched as his eyes flared, like he couldn't possibly comprehend how I could deliver this much bad news at once. The Council has a sample of my blood, and they've been secretly trying to figure out if the bloodline is dormant in me or not. If they don't already know the truth, it's only a matter of time before they do. And when that happens, they're going to come for me too. He blinked quickly, trying to work through everything I was saying. My blood could potentially raise Lucifer from his tomb, and they would never allow that to happen. You understand what that means, right? His eyes went from blinking to staring straight ahead like a deer caught in the headlights. Say something, Trace.
I'm trying to, he said, shaking his head.
His eyes and voice seemed hollow.
I'm trying to process this.
I could see him struggling to take it in, to accept it. I couldn't imagine what he was thinking, what he was feeling, but I imagined it wasn't anything good. I think it might be better if we stay away from each other for a while, I said softly, trying to hold back my tears. The truth was, I wanted to give him an easy out so I wouldn't have to hear him tell me that he couldn't be with me anymore, that I was an abomination and I made him ill. He winced.
I would never say that to you.
Tears burned under my eyelids. Never say never.
Damn it, Gemma! Look at me,
he ordered, cupping my face and forcing me to look at him.
I would never say that to you because I would never think it. I don't want to stay away from you. Not for a while, or a minute, or ever. Don't you get that?
Grabbing my hips, he lifted me off him to guide my left leg over his lap and then sat me back down so that I was straddling him. Being this close to him, this intimate, made my pulse quicken and my heart race.
Nothing else matters to me but this right here, he said, pointing to the two of us, limbs entwined. I don't care about Nikki or Angel or your bloodlines or some stupid prophecy. I care about you, Gemma. I care about making you happy and keeping you safe. I care about what's in here, he said, running his thumb across my forehead. And here, he added, placing his hand over my somersaulting heart.
I wrapped my arms around his neck and pressed my lips against his. A gentle hum purred under my skin, making everything seem a little bit better, a little more tolerable. I wanted to stay this way with him forever, to wrap myself in his love and let all of the bad fall away from me. And even though I knew I should have been trying harder to push him away, I couldn't bring myself to do it. It was dangerous for us like this. I knew that. And keeping him close to me was selfish, but I didn't know how to exist without him anymore. I didn't know how to let go of the only light I had left in my ever-darkening world.
Then don't, he answered simply. I know how you feel about me, and I hope you know how I feel about you. So why don't we just accept the fact that we're going to be together and move on to more important shit,
he suggested, grazing his thumb along my lips and then touching his to mine. As if to drive home the point. When he pulled back, I found myself staring into his eyes, into his soul, never feeling closer to any one person before in my entire life. I could see the love he had for me. I could feel it right there in my bones, and it burned hotter than the heat of 1,000 suns. I'm scared, Trace. I'm so scared I don't even know what to do with myself anymore, I confessed, my voice shaking as I spoke.
Everything's going to be fine. I'm never going to let anything bad happen to you.
Don't do that. Don't make promises that are impossible to keep. I grazed my thumb over his protesting dimple. I don't want to pretend anymore. I don't want to pretend everything is going to be okay, because it's not. Not unless we find a way to stop the prophecy.
Then that's what we'll do, he said, and then kissed the inside of my hand. We'll do whatever it takes.
Do you really mean that?
You know I do.
Good. Because I already asked Dominic for his help, I said, watching him carefully for any signs of an impending explosion. He's going to try to dig up as much information about the Dark Legion as possible. From the inside.
The inside?
I need to know what they know about the prophecy, and if they have information we don't, like how, when, and where it's supposed to go down.
Do you really think that's a good idea?
What?
Sending Dominic in there like that. He's kind of prone to turning on people.
It's a risk I have to take, Trace. There's no one else. His eyes shifted away briefly, but he didn't say anything.
All right. What else you got?
I'm going to ask Gabriel if he can try to get in the vaults at Temple. We need to find out as much as we can about the prophecy if we have any chance of manipulating it, I explained, unusually calm. Dominic thinks the Council might have some information or records in there. It's worth a shot.
He'll never be able to get in there, said Trace. He's a Rev. They might let him into the building with a guardian and whatnot. Maybe even let him continue hunting for the Order, but that's it. He won't even make it into the hallway.
All right, fine, I exhaled, refusing to let it get me down. Then I'll think of something else.
I can do it.
His voice was as steady as a rock. My face squinched up at his outlandish offer. You're not even with the Order anymore. They'll never let you in there.
That's not exactly true.
Which part? His Adam's apple bobbed as he swallowed.
I have a meeting with the Magister tomorrow.
My mouth flopped open. What? Why?
To talk to him about returning to the Order.
Why would you do that? I asked, stunned to hear that he was even considering returning to the Order, let alone that he actively sought it out after everything he'd said about them. I thought you didn't want anything to do with them.
I don't. Not really, he said with hooded lids.
Then what's going on? Why are you doing this?
Why do you think?
He answered gruffly as he tightened his hold on me.
After what happened with Angel? I need to protect you, Gemma. I thought I could do it without the Order, without all their politics and bullshit, but I need their resources.
You don't have to do this. We can find another way. It was bad enough I was dragging him into this, but making him feel like he had to return to the Order after everything that happened with Linley was more than I was willing to put him through.
It's not about that anymore.
He tucked a wavy strand of my hair behind my ear and dropped his voice to a baritone whisper.
I have to do this for you, Gemma. Now more than ever. We need to find out what the Council knows and what they're planning.
But you're playing right into them, Trace. This is exactly what they wanted to happen, I reminded him, but he didn't seem to care about that anymore.
It's different this time, he assured me. I'm going in with my eyes wide open. They're not going to control anything because I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for us.
He leaned in to kiss me again, to wash the bad away. But I put my hand against his chest and stopped him. Trace, I can't let you.
You're not changing my mind about this, Gemma.
He said adamantly, making it clear I wasn't going to win this battle. Trace was going to willingly throw himself down the same rabbit hole that I'd been free-falling through for the last few months. And there was nothing I could do to stop him. There was no telling what kind of secrets and smoke screens he would encounter along the way, or how many of them could potentially tear us apart for good. I shook my head, crestfallen. If you're going to do this, I need you to promise me something. His blue eyes met mine in the dark, piercing me with their willingness to give me anything I could ever ask for. Promise me. That whatever you find out, no matter how bad or scary it is, you won't keep the truth from me. You won't keep me in the dark. Promise me we'll always fight them together.
He watched me for a moment, his jaw muscle pumping as he held me tightly in his arms and considered the weight of my request.
I promise,
he finally said, and then leaned into me again, eager to seal the deal with lips that were clearly made to move against mine. The world slipped away from me again, fast and hard, and even though it was only a temporary reprieve from the storm that was churning over my life, it was heaven like this with Trace, and I never wanted to fall from its grace.
39. An Affair to Remember. Saturday came draped in an ethereal fog that spread over the town like a gathering of lost souls. There was something in the air, something sinister hissing in the wind, whispering as though it knew the town's secrets and sought to make them known to me. I hugged my arms for warmth and pushed the uneasiness away. I couldn't let it sidetrack me. This was Taylor's special day, and I was determined to make sure it was perfect in every way. We pulled up to the Valentine's residence that sat on a sprawling acreage not far from Weston Academy, bordering the very same woodlands that our school grounds did. It was a beautiful Queen Anne-style mansion fit for a real-life princess, right down to the matching turret that overlooked the yard. Even though Taylor no longer remembered anything about me or our friendship, I was still beyond happy to be able to attend her party and welcome her back home with the rest of her friends and family. And it didn't really even matter that it had to be from a distance, as Trace's unnamed plus one. A 7-piece orchestra was playing as we walked into the glitzy backyard. The Valentines had clearly spared no expense for their daughter's welcome home party. It was exactly the kind of bedazzled extravaganza Taylor went apeshit for. Strings of twinkling lights crisscrossed above the dance floor like a blanket of stars suspended in the air. Lanterns and small spotlights lit up the gardens throughout the yard, making it look like a scene out of a modern-day fairy tale. A fairy tale that Taylor deserved every moment of. There was even a full waitstaff on hand, dressed in white tuxedo jackets and black pants, and carrying trays filled with tiny appetizers and fancy hors d'oeuvres I couldn't pronounce. Looping my arm through Trace's, I scanned the yard in search of familiar faces and the guest of honor. I found the latter planted at the crown of the dance floor, surrounded by a group of attentive admirers, most of which were the male variety. She looked like an angel in her flowing white dress and loose locks of blonde hair. I wanted so bad to run up to her and throw my arms around her, to tell her how happy I was to have her home and how much I missed having her around. But I knew I couldn't do that. I had to keep my distance and stay out of her normal, human life. More importantly, I had to keep her out of my abnormal one.
You look amazing, said Trace, taking in the black mermaid dress that clung to my body like a second skin.
He ran his hand down the length of my back, sending waves of electricity shooting every which way.
That dress is something else on you.
I smiled up at him. It's not too much. I had less than 15 minutes to shop after my shift at All Saints earlier today and ended up grabbing the first black formal-looking dress I could find on the rack at some small boutique on Main Street. I'd never been to parties like this before and was always doubting my fashion sense when it came to my wardrobe, especially since I didn't have Taylor to set me straight anymore.
Too much?
He circled his arms around my waist and pressed me into his thick, muscular frame.
Maybe.
You're supposed to lie and say I look fine, I said indignantly.
Fine doesn't even begin to describe how you look, Gemma.
He craned his head towards my ear and breathed me in.
You're dangerous in that dress.
I arched a brow at him as I sprouted a smile. Dangerous, huh?
It's taking everything I have not to rip that dress off of you right now,
he whispered huskily, brushing his lips below my ear.
The only thing stopping me is the thought of anyone else getting to see what's under there.
My eyes widened at his confession.
Trace,
I guess I can always just lie and say you look fine, he continued nonchalantly. Pretend I'm not dying to finish what we started the other night.
Steamy flashes of our last bedroom session took over my subconscious, heating my cheeks and body simultaneously. We really should fix that, I agreed.
I plan on it, he said, pulling back.
His eyes were filled with love and lust and smoldering fire. It was impossible not to get swept up in the inferno. When? I whispered, anticipation swirling deep in my belly.
Tonight, after Taylor's party.
This was news to me. Good news, obviously. I suddenly had the urge to cut the night short and head home.
Don't tempt me,
he warned, pushing my hair over my shoulder and then dropping a kiss at the base of my neck, near my exposed collarbone. I shivered from the contact as a feverish heat skirted over my skin. Hot and cold, I wasn't even sure how that was possible, but I wasn't surprised with Trace. He had a way of inducing feelings in me that I'd never felt before. Just the thought of giving myself to him fully made my entire body ignite. Thank you for tonight, by the way, I said, running my hands along the lapel of his black tuxedo jacket. For the barrier and everything else you did so that I could be here. After everything that happened yesterday, I'd realized that it would be too dangerous for me to attend Taylor's party. I could have unwittingly led the Dark Legion and a whole lot of other trouble right to her doorstep. When Trace had seen how heartbroken I was over not being able to go, he came up with the idea of asking Caleb to put up a magical fence around Taylor's entire property, ensuring that Taylor and her guests would be safe, and that anything unclean, undead, or otherwise Dark Legion-related would be blocked out. The fact that he didn't think twice about putting his beef with Caleb aside for the sake of making this possible for me only made my feelings for him stronger. Maybe Caleb can keep the barrier up for a while, I suggested. Make sure nothing can get to her.
How long do you want him to keep it up?
I don't know. As long as possible.
That can be arranged,
he said, and then looked at me as though trying to figure something out. I'm not always going to be around to look after her, I explained, glancing across the yard at her and then back at him. Promise me you'll do it when I can't.
Don't talk like that,
he said, his eyes darkening at my words.
You're not going anywhere. I won't allow it. Everything's secure on my end,
interrupted Caleb, walking up to us with a champagne glass in his hand and a lopsided grin on his lips.
Nothing's getting through that firewall,
he added cockily, and then threw back a sip of his drink. Mostly thanks to me, said Nikki as she stepped out from behind Caleb and joined our private little party.
Thanks, man.
Trace put his fist out, and Caleb bumped it. And just like that, they were friends again. What about me? Asked Nikki, her eyes plastered on Trace like a lovesick puppy begging for attention.
Thank you, too, he said, tipping his head to her.
Anything for a friend. Taylor means so much to all of us, she said, sounding like the phony bitch that she was. Since when do you give a crap about Taylor? Since always, Gemma. She shook her head at me and then clicked her tongue. You'd know that if you actually took a minute to get to know me. I've already taken several minutes, Nikki, and I didn't like what I saw. But thanks. I'm sorry you feel that way.
I'm sure you are, I scoffed and then turned to Trace.
You're not buying this, are you? She was really pulling out all the stops tonight, undoubtedly for his benefit. He frowned. There's nothing to buy. Everyone knows that there's nothing I wouldn't do for someone I cared about, she went on, her words stained with dark undertones that sounded a lot like a warning. I'll make sure to remember that. You really should, Gemma. There was a smile on her lips, but her eyes glowered at me with venom. Hey, Pratt, said Caleb, nodding over to Ben, who was making his way up to us. What's up, gentlemen? Ladies? He greeted everyone jovially.
He'd been in an infinitely better mood since the night we brought Taylor back home. Clearly, it wasn't a coincidence.
Did you run the perimeter?
Asked Trace. Yep, everything's clear.
Told you, said Caleb smugly. Nothing's getting through that thing. That's some of my best work right there.
I thought your dad was out of town, said Ben to Trace suddenly, gesturing over to the sprawling white tent that housed dozens of white tables and matching bistro chairs. We all turned at the same time. I quickly spotted Peter MacArthur standing by the bar, having a drink with some other guy.
Isn't that your uncle, Jem?
Asked Ben, ticking his chin at the whispering duo. I looked a little closer at the man standing beside Trace's dad, and immediately noticed the patch of white hair along his ears. I think so, I answered, and then looked at Trace for confirmation. He responded with a slight nod. What the heck was my uncle even doing here? I mean, okay, so tons of other parents and Hollow residents were here tonight celebrating Taylor's return, but still, something wasn't sitting well about it. Plus, why didn't he mention it to me? Then again, I had sort of been evading him lately. But still. Trace leaned in closer.
I'm sure it's nothing, he whispered reassuringly, making sure the others didn't overhear.
None of our friends knew anything about my bloodlines or the fact that the Dark Legion was hunting me down, and I wanted to keep it that way. The fewer people that knew about the secret that could potentially end my life, the better. Especially people like Nikki, who would undoubtedly hand-deliver me to the Dark Legion herself. I pushed away all my ailing thoughts and smiled back up at Trace, fully intent on enjoying the rest of my night with him and whatever else may follow. He wrapped his arm around my shoulder and dropped a kiss on the top of my head.
Trace, can I talk to you for a minute?
Asked Nikki, purposely interrupting our moment. My eyes glazed over with hate. Hatred for her and her conniving, underhanded ways. Hatred for the way Trace's name sounded when it passed between her scowling lips.
It's important, she quickly added.
I hated that she was even here with us, and that she was going to be here with him long after I was gone.
Gemma?
Trace looked down at me to get my okay. Mostly, though, I hated that she was probably going to live the life I'd always dreamed of having with him. The life I was supposed to have with him. Chances were, Trace and I weren't ever going to get our happily ever after. And letting Nikki know that she was getting to me would only make her step up her efforts. Come find me when you're done, I told him and lifted onto my toes to pull a quick kiss from his lips. Without looking back, I walked off towards the dance floor, taking in all the smiling faces as I listened to the haunting classical piece being played by the orchestra. Everyone was having a good time, it seemed, and none more so than Taylor. She had the most contagious, beautiful smile plastered across her pink-glossed lips, and it made my heart cheer knowing that I helped put it there. My eyes continued to circle the grounds, noting all the guests and their chosen company until they settled on my uncle and Trace's dad, who had now moved to a table near the back of the tent. Keeping my distance, I watched their interactions, looking for clues as to the subject of their hushed conversation. Stopping at the bar, I asked the bartender for a soda while continuing my recon as inconspicuously as possible. Uncle Carl appeared to be heated. Leaning forward, his eyebrows were rutted together and his forehead was creased. I noted his hands jerking back and forth as though he were angrily trying to get his point across. Whatever it was they were discussing, it didn't appear to be pleasant. I picked up my drink and casually strolled in their direction, hoping I might get close enough to eavesdrop on them.
Hi!
Shit. I turned slowly at the sound of Taylor's bubbly voice as I tried to prepare myself to face her. I was completely caught off guard and had no idea what to say to her.
Hi.
Wow, genius, Gemma.
I know we haven't, like, formally met at school or anything, but I just wanted to thank you for coming to my party.
Her smile was big and warm, letting me know she was being nothing but genuine.
You and Trace are totally cute sauce together.
Thanks, I said, smiling back at her without even meaning to. And thank you for, you know, having me.
For sure.
She tilted her head to the side and stared back at me with a strange look in her eyes. What? I said, fighting off the urge to check my teeth on the back of the silverware. Do I have something on my face?
No, no, you look great. It's just...
She continued staring.
You just seem really familiar. Have we met before? Like, out of school or something?
Nope. I don't think so.
Weird, she said, sort of to herself. I feel like I don't know.
She shook her head and laughed at herself.
I think I just had a little too much champagne tonight. That open bar just wouldn't stop calling me.
I couldn't help but laugh. God, did I miss her.
So, yeah, I just wanted to say hi and all that. Hopefully I didn't completely weird you out.
She laughed again, but there was definitely a nervous pitch to it this time.
I'm not usually this awkward, I swear it.
Not awkward at all, I assured her. It was really nice to talk to you, Tay. Lur, I quickly added, catching my mistake.
Yeah, you too,
she said, laughing, probably at the strange stutter she now thinks I have.
See you around, Gemma.
She waved me off as she spun on her heels and headed back towards the dance floor and her waiting band of admirers. I stood there for a few seconds too long, watching her go with my hand still hanging in the air like I was some kind of human stop sign. Snapping out of my daze, my eyes quickly darted back to the tent. The table was empty. Shit.
Language, Gemma.
My uncle walked up beside me, holding a cigar between his index and middle finger.
It's a lovely night for people watching, is it not?
I looked over at him as he stared into the tent. Was he referring to the fact that I was trying to spy on him earlier? Had they seen me?
Yeah, sure. I guess so.
You'd be amazed at the things one can learn by watching.
I felt a strange chill run down my back, making the hairs on my arms tremble.
I'll have to try that sometime.
He looked down at me for a moment and then pulled in a puff of his cigar. A cloud of smoke billowed out of his mouth and floated up to greet the night sky.
The council would like to meet with you tomorrow. Perhaps you can stop by my office before work and we can go together.
Meet with me?
The hairs were now standing straight up.
About what?
About your future with the Order, of course.
Right. My future. I glanced over my shoulder, looking for Trace. He was still with Nikki, talking privately. Damn that stupid heifer for monopolizing his time.
Sure thing, Uncle Carl. Tomorrow sounds great. I'll just check my schedule and then, you know, get right back to you.
My phone buzzed in my hand, causing me to nearly jump out of my skin.
Goodness, Gemma, what's gotten into you?
I'm just stressed out about everything that's going on, I blurted out, and then quickly tried to cover up my blunder. You know, with school exams and everything. Will you excuse me, Uncle? I have to take this, I added, pointing to my still vibrating phone.
Of course.
He took another drag of his cigar.
Enjoy the rest of your evening, Gemma. You never know when you'll get another chance like this.
My eyes rounded out as I backed away from him. What the heck did that mean? Had he just threatened me? Turning away, I hit the green button and put the phone to my ear.
Hello, Angel,
greeted Dominic on the other end of the line. Something really weird is going on, I said in a panicked whisper. I think my uncle just threatened me.
I thought you were attending a social function.
I am. He's here too, and so is Trace's dad. I glanced over my shoulder at where we'd just been standing, but the spot was already vacated. I think they're up to something.
Who?
My uncle and Trace's dad. And God only knows how many other council members are here. I looked around nervously, trying to spot any familiar faces or suspicious persons of interest. My eyes immediately fell on Nikki.
She was alone now and walking clandestinely, like she was Nancy freaking Drew, looking over her shoulders as she skirted towards the wall of forest that kissed the edge of Taylor's backyard.
What did he say to you?
I don't know, something about enjoying my night, I said distractedly, following her.
Oh, well, yes, that sounds highly suspicious,
he said sarcastically. I could hear rustling in the background. It was, I insisted. Enjoy your night, you might not get another chance, I repeated, trying to mimic his eerie tone. Where are you, anyway?
He actually said you might not get another chance?
He asked.
I'm close.
Or that I never know when I'll get another chance? I tried to recall his exact words but couldn't get my thoughts to run in a linear fashion. Whatever, it was creepy and it sounded like he was trying to threaten me, or like warn me about something.
Speaking of which, we need to talk, love.
About what? I asked, watching curiously as Nikki reached the border of the forest and then flipped open her phone.
About Angel.
Can it wait? I'm kind of in the middle of something.
Well, he's back in town, and that isn't even the bad news. You decide if it can wait.
My heart skidded to a full stop and then exploded into overdrive. I quickly scanned the sprawling yard for Trace and spotted him alone at the bar, ordering a drink. What's the bad news? I asked, turning my attention back to Nikki.
For starters, he isn't working with the Dark Legion. I'm not sure that he ever was. He appears to have his own plans.
Which means he's still after the amulet, I guessed.
It's a little more involved than that.
Meaning what?
Not on the phone, love. Can you slip away?
I think so. I just need to get to Trace, I said distractedly, watching as Nikki took one last glance over her shoulder and then slipped into the woods through a thin, skeletal opening. What the hell is she up to now?
Who?
Nikki, I answered, rushing towards the spot she'd just disappeared into. She just took off into the woods. She's up to something. I'm going to follow her. My heart thwacked hard against my ribcage at the thought of finally outing her.
I strongly advise against it.
And why is that? I asked, without bothering to slow down.
You don't know nearly enough about her to attempt to take her on. How do you know you're not walking into a trap?
I don't, I answered simply. Stopping at the edge of the woods, I peeked over my shoulder to make sure no one was watching me. She's up to something, and I'm not about to let her get away with it. Besides, I have the amulet, remember?
You're getting careless, love.
I know what I'm doing, Dominic. I'll call you right back, I said, and then hung up before he could say anything else. I only had a few seconds to make a decision. There was no time to think twice about it or run back for reinforcements. Nikki was definitely up to something, and this was my one chance to finally out her for the red-handed witch she really was. I pushed through the pines and stepped into the woods.
40. Season of the Witch.
Skeletal branches scraped against my skin as I weaved through the dark forest, peering around looming pines and evergreens that seemed to reach all the way up to the pitch-black sky. The fog was dense, swimming along the forest floor like smoke, beckoning me forward into the land of the lost as I tried to gain some kind of visual on Nikki. In the space behind me, I could still hear the muted sounds of the orchestra playing the echoes of a ghost song I couldn't name. Unknowing partygoers dancing contentedly among a slew of liars and cheaters who would gladly feed them to the enemy in the name of keeping their precious secrets. A branch snapped up ahead of me, pulling my attention forward again. The tip of Nikki's blue dress caught my eye right before it disappeared around the bend of a narrow path that twisted and turned its way deeper into the woods. Kicking off my shoes, I picked up my dress and started running after her. My feet crunching against the slush of earth and twigs and dead leaves I couldn't see under the thick skin of fog. My feet pounded hard against the ground, colliding with branches and rocks that sent sharp stabs of pain shooting up through my feet and legs. It was as though the forest were alive and well, and openly playing for Nikki's team. I slowed down my pace as she came further into view. She was walking at a steady clip, weaving her way through the woodlands with an obvious motive and a clear destination. The further I walked into the woods, the louder my heart became, banging against my ribcage like gunshots sounding off inside my ears. My eyes shifted from her to something further up ahead, a glimmering wall that fell from the sky like a translucent sheet made of soft blue lights and air. The magical barrier. What the heck was she doing near the barrier? I knew she was involved in casting the spell with Caleb, and could have easily been checking on it to make sure everything was all right. But this was Nikki, after all, and something was telling me her intentions were far less noble and pure than that. She came to a full stop in front of the ghostly wall and waited, fidgeting with the phone in her hands as she gazed through the sheer barrier. It looked like she was waiting for someone. But who? Hungry for more clues, for answers, I shuffled forward towards a thick, moss-covered oak tree, rooted in its yesteryears just a few feet away from her. I already had a good enough view, but I needed to get closer still. I needed to get close enough to testify against her in the court of Trace's eyes. A branch snapped beneath my foot, freezing me mid-step. Nikki spun on her heels at the sound of my fumble. Her narrowed, aquamarine eyes immediately fell on me as a sliver of a smile appeared on her deceitful mouth. "Well, isn't this rich?" she said, casually strolling towards me. I brought my strangling foot to the ground and silently cursed the branches that decorated it. "What the hell are you doing out here, Nikki?" "I was going to ask you the same thing," she sneered as she crossed her thin arms across her chest. "Do you stalk all your boyfriend's exes, or am I just the special one?" "If by special you mean a rocket-sized hemorrhoid in my ass, then yes, you're extremely special, Nikki." "Is that what I am?" She put her hand to her chest and feigned surprise. "Gosh, Gemma, I didn't know I was affecting you so very much. It's nice to know my efforts are paying off." "What are you doing out here?" I demanded again, choosing to ignore her obvious bait. "Who are you meeting?"
"None of your damn business."
She tried to turn away from me, but I quickly grabbed her shoulder and pulled her back. "You're standing in the middle of the woods, right next to the barrier that happens to be keeping everyone I care about safe right now. And you think it's none of my business?"
"Get your damn hands off me," she said, slapping my arm away.
"I know you're up to something, Nikki, and I'm not about to let you get away with it, so you might as well just call it off."
"What makes you so sure I'm up to something?" she challenged. "Are you a seer now, too?"
"Yeah, I'm a seer. I see a wicked bitch in front of me that gets off on messing with people's lives."
"I bet your boyfriend would disagree."
"Actually, I happen to know for a fact that he wouldn't," I retorted, each word slow and measured to ensure she got the point. Trace was on my side of the line, not hers. Her eyes darkened with fury.
"Well, I guess we can't all be as special as you, daughter of Hades."
My stomach bottomed out.
"Didn't think I knew about that, did you?"
The corner of her lip pushed up into her rosy cheek.
"It's actually quite poetic if you think about it. I mean, I already knew you were a boyfriend-stealing skank, but who knew you were actually the she-devil herself?"
Her biting laughter reached out through the air like a whip and slashed at my skin. "Screw you, Nikki. You're just mad because Trace doesn't want you anymore. He wants me now."
"Yeah, and how long do you think that will last?"
She laughed again, little bursts of mockery peppering the delicate space inside my ears.
"It's only a matter of time before he wakes up and realizes what you really are. And when he does, he's going to leave your sorry ass and come crawling back to me."
"You're so delusional," I said, refusing to let her know that she was even remotely affecting me. "Trace doesn't want you anymore, Nikki. He doesn't want anything to do with you.
We laugh about how pathetic you are all the time, I added, wanting to cut her the way she was cutting me. You're lying, she seethed, though her voice was shaking when she said it, and I could tell I was getting to her. Therese would never do that to me. Well, maybe not to your face, I shrugged innocently. He just doesn't have the heart to tell you himself. You're such a bitch! Her gaze shifted over my shoulder at the sound of my name being called in the distance. We both immediately recognized the voice as Trace's. See? He calls my name now, not yours.
Well, let's see how long he calls it when he's standing over your casket, you stupid bitch.
Her lips curled into an evil grin that sent chills running scared all throughout my body. Are you threatening me? I asked, instinctively taking a step away from her. She was a caster, after all, and God only knew what she was capable of.
More like promising you.
She uncrossed her arms and tilted her head to the side.
I think I'm really going to enjoy this.
Enjoy what? I asked, taking another backward step.
Watching them all fight over who gets to put you in the ground first, right where you've always belonged.
Her eyes flared like two warning signs. I didn't have a chance to say anything back. Arms came out from behind me, plucking me off the ground like a poison that needed to be eradicated.
Get the hell off!
My command was quickly killed by a hand clamping down around my neck, pressing down and squeezing it as if to encase my throat in a tomb. I tried to scream out for help, for reprieve from the sudden onslaught, but I couldn't pull in enough air to accomplish the feat. Panicked, my eyes darted back to Nikki, pleading with her for help, for allegiance. But she just stood there, motionless, watching my attack like a horror movie she was dying to see. This is what she wanted all along, what she'd been working towards since day one. And now, here she was, watching contentedly from her front row seat. Fingers ripped through my hair, grabbing at the roots and using them as an anchor to yank my head back. My gaze snapped from Nikki to the pitch-black sky peeking out through the thick canvas of trees and overgrowth, and then to the silver blade that appeared in my peripheral. It glinted murderously, luring out the rest of the world as it caught the light from the moon and reflected its deathly message back to me. Realization hit me like a train. He wasn't some random revenant that wanted a taste of my blood, and he wasn't here on behalf of an ex-cheerleader with a sour score to settle. He was here to make sure I didn't make it out of the forest alive. A startling burst of adrenaline shot through my veins, screaming at me to fight for my life. I bucked wildly against his back, my feet swinging relentlessly as I tried to kick out his legs from underneath him to break his hold on me. He tightened his grip, dragging us further back into the brushwood, his breathing coming out fast and heavy in my ear as he struggled to keep me contained, to keep me in position. Jerking my head back once again, he lifted the blade in front of my eyes as if to taunt me with it, as if to warn me of what was coming, before lowering it beneath my chin. I felt the cold steel press against my neck and gasped as he pushed down and then slid the blade across my neck from one side to the other, as easy as slicing through warm butter. And then he released me. My hand shot up to my neck, covering myself as I spun around to look my attacker in the eye. But the coward was already gone, darting back through the woods from which he'd come, back towards the flock of unsuspecting partygoers. Hot, wet, liquid seeped through my fingers and down my neck. My gaze fell to the strange, wet sensation coating my body like a blanket. Blood. My blood. Everywhere. I tightened my hold around my neck, trying to stop the wound from pouring out, but the harder I pressed, the more blood came pulsing out of me. I turned back to Nikki, my eyes wide and petrified as I fell to my knees at her mercy. I tried to speak, but the sound was being distorted by a strange gurgling, choking noise. It took me a few moments to realize the sound was coming from the back of my own throat. Nikki just stared down at me in silence, not saying a word and not moving a single muscle to help me.
I was literally going to bleed to death at her feet. And that was if I didn't drown in a pool of my own blood first. And all she could do was stand there with that stupid look on her face and watch.
What is this?